Today we're going to have a sermon. We had it played last at 2002, and the last time we actually played this sermon. It's the warning to the church. It's a very well-known sermon by Mr. Armstrong, or it's sometimes called the Day of Fasting and Prayer. And it was interesting that it was actually made initially back in July 78. Now, the thing is that it's very important that listening to this particular sermon, although it was given in July 78, as was actually brought out in the opening prayer, it's important that we in fact apply it to 2010, because we live in this particular time now, and there's a great deal changed as far as the time that we find ourselves in today. Certainly when you look at the way the work is done, the way this broadcast, this actual service is being conducted, the internet wasn't available. There was no World Wide Web by the time Mr. Armstrong was giving this sermon. In fact, the World Wide Web didn't come into existence really until about 1990, and I think the actual first Mosaic browser was about 92. And the work itself, used to have tapes as archives. There was no kind of World Wide Web that you could go into and actually download something from that from the internet. There's other things outside as well that... We listened to the radio broadcast last week where Mr. Armstrong talked about his dealings with an atheist and how he actually discussed the existence of God without quoting the Bible at all. Now, if that had been today, that atheist would have probably have dismissed what he had to say unless he had certain up-to-date knowledge as well. And a great deal has come into existence since Mr. Armstrong's death in the area of intelligent design. The word intelligent design itself didn't even exist as being applied to what we look at today as far as proof of the existence of God until about 1987, after Mr. Armstrong had already died. So there's a great deal of work that's been done, particularly on the cell, and also on astronomy as well, but especially on the cell, even in the last 10 years. An enormous amount has been done. So it's important to look at the things that have been changed. But what we're looking at here today is a warning to the church. And it's to the church that the warning is actually given. And so what I want to do today is to concentrate on two major areas of change between July 78 and today, specifically in the church. So that we can better listen to the radio broadcast, or not radio broadcast, but listen to the tape recording of the sermon and apply the principle of what Mr. Armstrong said and is saying to us, to our day right now, to our lives right now. And the two areas I want to go into is how we present ourselves before God, because that has changed in many ways. Now, here, I mean, we're in a home. Before, back at that time, we would be meeting in a hall somewhere. And here today, the broadcast is actually going out across the internet to about 50 groups across the world, something unheard of before. So the way we present ourselves before God is one of them. And secondly, the smorgasbord of the churches of God. I want to talk a little bit about that, because when we listen to what Mr. Armstrong had to say back in 78, it was very different from what we find ourselves today as far as the churches across the world. And so it's important that we look at that. So let's have a look at this first one. How do we present ourselves before God? Now, in 78, it was absolutely essential that we presented ourselves respectfully at the hall, wherever we would be listening to the sermon or sermonette, that once the sermon was actually taking place, there wouldn't be talking, there wouldn't be jesting. It was actually something that you're expected to be quiet during the service. You wouldn't get up there and shout the sermon down. That we took notes, that the children would be on a mat, and a general service would be held. As far as our dress was concerned, it was to be cleaned, it was to be ironed, it was to be presentable, it was to be modest. Men in the Western world wore ties and suits or jackets. There were no work shirts, the blue rough work shirts or denim shirts that were worn. There's no jeans, no slacks for the ladies. Shoes and were shined, and you know, you didn't go to church services in flip-flops, for instance. Now, that is the reason for doing that, is because we presented ourselves, and we understood we presented ourselves before Jesus Christ, before God the Father, when we attended services. Now, we come to 2010, to this year now, and the question is, okay, how do we present ourselves before God now? Now, all we have is many cases a computer all we have is to present ourselves before a computer screen, and you don't even have a visual of the person speaking. But nevertheless, we are still presenting ourselves before God and before Christ. And the basic respect, the fact that we don't go ahead and talk, that we treat it as a service, should very much be there. And if we turn over to Exodus 19, we can see an instance here where people presented themselves before Christ, before God, the God of the Old Testament. And there was a certain respect that had to be shown. Here in Exodus 19, verse 5, it says, "Now therefore you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine." This is the being that you're dealing with, who owns all this earth. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And we are to be king priests in the future. And so the parallel is very great between the church today and the church that was in the wilderness at this time. "These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." And you come down to verse 10, it says, "The Eternal said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them, clean them up today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So before they presented themselves before God, they washed and washed their clothes. "And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Eternal will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." So the presentation, you know, we understood all of the areas that I dealt with regarding attending services, that we were clean, that things were ironed, that it was the best that we could afford, that we wore a tie. Now, in the Philippines, they didn't, because the formal dress in the Philippines is an open neck barong, which is a special shirt. But in the West, it's wearing a tie, and we wear a jacket or a suit. We wouldn't wear jeans, we wouldn't be slacks for ladies. And there's no difference today. We still, although we're doing it differently, although it's going across the internet, we still present ourselves before God. And so when we're listening to what Mr. Armstrong had to say at that time, back in 78, we need to understand that, okay, times are different. We are having services in a different way, but the respect before God whom we serve has got to be the same. It's got to remain the same. And he was bringing the church back on track. And today we also have got to get back on track. So as we listen to what he has to say, apply it to the present time. Apply it to the present time. Because he was saying there's a lackadaisical attitude of people not wanting to attend Bible studies. And again, we look at our own, do we prepare? Do we prepare for the Sabbath? Do we get our shoes ready? Do we polish the shoes before we come to services? Present ourselves before services. Now, I'm not talking about the people over in California who are getting up at 6 and recording the message. But if people over in California are getting up at 6 and actually having that as their service, then they're presenting themselves before God. And so we should, in fact, have the same kind of respect and the same kind of attitude of mind and the same kind of approach that we had at that time and that Mr. Armstrong was encouraging us all to adopt at that time. So we come to the second area, and that is this smorgasbord of churches of God, because today you can go out on the internet, you can go and breeze through and find this particular speaker or that particular speaker and this idea and that idea. But turn with me, if you would, over to 2 Timothy, because Paul is writing to Timothy, and it's an interesting passage here in 2 Timothy, because the timing was quite crucial. He says in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "I fought the good fight and finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth was laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And he's talking about the fact that he is facing an execution. And he's facing the end of his life, and he's passing things on to Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in verse 1, it says, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, times of stress, for men shall be lovers of themselves." And if you go to even the word Laodicea means let the people decide. It's an internal, incoming frame of mind. And when we look at the smorgasbord of churches of God, we find every single idea almost under the sun out there that you can find, where people have diversed and gone away from the spiritual heritage that was over them at one time and should still be over them today, because it didn't come from Mr. Armstrong, it came from Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ that is present in the services, the same Jesus Christ that walked the earth and today rules in power and rules his church and is on the outside of a certain church knocking. So it says the men should be lovers of themselves, and down in verse 13 it says evil men and seducers will become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not that they don't believe in what they're doing and what their ideas are. It's both deceiving and being deceived at that time. But you, he says, continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Now he stresses that. He says, go back to basics. Go back to the apostle that actually gave Timothy the information. And he talks about how the Holy Scriptures are the basis that Paul was using. And he says, go back to those and go back and understand that in the right way, in the right light. And in chapter 4, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Which word? Well, this word that he had, that he learned. This word that came from Paul originally, from the apostle that was actually sent at that time, as far as Timothy was concerned. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. And we will have that when we listen to this broadcast, a warning to the church. And we will be able to listen to the warning that went out. But it's got to be applied to today. It's got to be applied to our particular situation today. Yes, of an internet. Yes, we present ourselves before God in a different way, but also in a smorgasbord as far as the churches are concerned, a smorgasbord of ideas. And we've got to make sure that we preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. For the time will come, and this is the warning, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, teaching that is based on that word, but after their own lusts. In other words, remember what he says, in the perilous days shall come, for shall men shall be lovers of themselves. That's the lust. From their own lust shall they heap to themselves. In other words, they pile up to themselves. And if you go on the internet, this is exactly what you find. They heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears to have the ear scratched the way they want to have it scratched. So as we listen to what Mr. Armstrong had to say at that time, apply it to today. Remember what's on the internet. Remember of the smorgasbord of churches of God out there. And yet understand that, no, there is a basis, there is a foundation that we've got to return to, that we've got to hold on to and hold fast to. And it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned to fables. And this so often is the case that you find in 2 Thessalonians 2, I won't turn there, but it talks about those that are lovers, love the truth, and the love of the truth. Because, again, you look over in Matthew 24:49, again, don't turn there, we haven't got time to go there, but it talks about eating and drinking with the drunken. And the drunken, and you know, the wine of her fornication, and the Babylon the Great. And what is the word Babylon? It's a mixing of truth with error. It's a mixing of the word, the confusion of the languages. And this is happening in a great smorgasbord of ideas, of concepts, and yet we've got to go back to the basics. So as we listen to this particular sermon, the warning to the church, make sure that we do so not with the ears of 1978, not with the ears of somebody who's sitting in services the way they were in 1978, but with the ears of today, 2010.